Saddle up your horses. Welcome, everyone, to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. A little different program today. This program is being recorded a number of days, actually, before when you're hearing it, because I'm traveling. And I just can't do this justice on the road. Every time I go through TSA checkpoints, a tear into my bags and see what's this equipment that I got in there and what it is, and it's just a hassle. So, but does that make this a program not timely? No, I make a point of making timely programs that I could actually air about any time because they are on point. And today, I think you're going to appreciate the information coming to you today. And I've called this program The Coming Attractions Have Arrived. Coming attractions have arrived, and there are going to be a number of things which I have referenced in the past, some of them predictions that are happening or in the process of happening, other things just things that we've talked about in the past which are on our doorstep. And of course, this is leading up to the election, and we are going to be prepared to go full bore if Harris wins. I'm going to go full bore anyway, but in a different way if Harris wins, as to what the next steps are for the people who want to, try to preserve their assets, their identity, you name it. But one of the things I'm going to start with here today is 4 years ago, right when the pandemic broke out, or the plandemic. Don't want to go into that, but the way by which people were controlled, people who just surrendered all independence and just yielded, because we had a thought that, the government really shouldn't be against us. Well, it was. It's all about control, control, control. The left are control freaks. Certainly expanded under Joe Biden in 2021, no question about it. But in late 2020, after the election, so-called, I indicated that this was just a proving ground, a testing for things to come, and that the next pandemic would not be a disease. The next pandemic, or alleged pandemic, which would indeed be a pandemic, would be the executive orders which would emerge from alleged global warming. Alleged global warming. Now, I'm just going to say right out of the gate here, a lot of Christians are falling for this, but the Bible, we're going to have to do a program, but I think I'm going to do it on the Sunday morning in a preaching context down the road a little bit about how the Bible does not support anthropomorphic warming, man-made warming. There is no such thing biblically. And if doesn't exist biblically, it does not exist other than something that God would do, not man. So the reason that this came up is the hysterics that are surrounding not the damage done by Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton, but the further clamoring for doing something about climate change, climate change, climate change. And what precipitated this was the seasoned meteorologist. I don't know what station he was on in Florida, I don't know, Orlando, Tampa, some of those places. Guy had been around a long time, kind of a, generally speaking, an even-keeled guy. But what's he doing? Here's a grown man starting, I got to back up already. I don't want to say that grown men can't cry. There are times grown men should cry. But there's a lot more tears showing up on men's faces. I don't know if this is they're getting in touch with their inner selves more, but it's showing up a lot more in just the last couple of years on TV, from sobbing football players to you name it. Well, this meteorologist trying to get in touch with whatever side it is, I don't know, starts tearing up over the climate change. This was, you say, this is so avoidable. This is so avoidable, while he's crying. And this was about Hurricane Helene. And this was before Milton, actually. So he's probably, we're probably up to the crocodile tears here. And demanding that something be done because this is so avoidable. The worst hurricanes ever. And if he hadn't have started, if he hadn't started crying, I wouldn't have gone deep into some due diligence on the issue of hurricanes. So bear with me here a minute. This is going to blow you away, no pun intended. Because I do remember about 12 years ago, I don't even know what hurricane it was, around 2010, so I guess it'd be 14 years ago, what it was, and they said it's climate change, global warming then. And everything is an existential crisis until it turns out that it isn't. You see, it's an existential crisis, meaning it's a crisis right now. It's in our existence. We got to do something right now. Well, they've been saying existential crisis about climate change for 20 years, 15 years anyway, starting with the Weather Channel. And they had come out with this statement that this is all these hurricanes, it would not, they would not be happening if it weren't for climate change. Okay, well, guess what? A man who owned a gazillion hotels in Florida sued the Weather Channel because he ruined, they ruined all of his bookings for the next year for people who didn't want to come to Florida because they thought they would it turn into a sequel of The Wizard of Oz and they'd be flying through the air like Dorothy or the witch. Well, guess what? The next year, there are no hurricanes. And the next year, no hurricanes. This guy's, I don't know how the lawsuit came out. That's not what this is about. But he sued them because they ruined his business with something, stating something to be a fact that they couldn't say was a fact. And if you go back to Barack Hussein Obama, what, with the first two or three State of the Union addresses, he said, global warming, it's a fact. It's a fact. The science is settled. It isn't settled. And if it was settled, if it were settled, why did he change from global warming to climate change? What the heck is climate change? Well, climate change is nothing but an alleged global warming that you actually cannot prove. You can't prove it. You're just saying that the climate is changing. Yeah, so what? We got winter, spring, summer, and fall. To me, global warming in the Northern Hemisphere is summer. But in any case, this guy's weeping. What? He's probably, I saw his picture, he's probably 55, 57 years old. So I go in and I drill down, even though I do not like that expression, on hurricanes and the seven most damaging hurricanes in Florida's history. Well, first of all, I have to tell you, when they say this, these are the worst in the history, it's the worst in recorded history. And that's a huge feature because when I did the research, I got to a point where the hurricanes were no longer named going back in time. They weren't named. Just say the hurricane of 1912, blah, 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 blah. And they didn't have the precise measurements for determining the millibars, which is kind of the key. Under 900 millibars, it's really bad. Whatever the heck millibars mean, it's too close to Milli Vanilli for me. But anyway, I looked at these. And so you've got these two that we've had this year. Then you get back to a bad one in 2015, and then I think one 2017, 2015, but then you jump to 2005. But then guess what? You jump to 1988. So we are talking, what, 36 years ago? And that was a bad one. And I think the worst of them was 1980. 44 years ago. And then, now I take that back. That was the second. The worst one of the seven worst. Can anybody pick a year? Well, guess what? It was the tail end of the Depression, 1935. 1935, the worst of the seven worst hurricanes in Florida history. It's 1935. Can you do the math? 89 years ago. What was the climate change going on in 1935? Was it all those soot blasting Model A's or Model T's that kind of fresh out of Detroit? This is nonsense. So I looked a little deeper. One of the reasons that it's the worst is a combination of the damage it did in the millibars. It killed 408 people. That's a big deal. Now we're up to 200 and some with Helene, and they say it's going to go to 600, and maybe it will. Milton, Uncle Milty. And why would you name a hurricane after Milton Berle? I mean, he's the only Milton I've ever heard of. Well, there's nothing funny about a hurricane, but there was nothing funny about Milton Berle either. So maybe that's why it was okay to name it Milton. The only thing they didn't do is call it Uncle Milty. But I think we're up to, and keep in mind, this, you're hearing this a number of days after after the hurricane, but before, it's not contemporary information. At the time of this taping, I think it's 14 or 16 confirmed dead in Florida. That's not good. And billions in damage, not good. But let's do a little bit of extrapolation here before we shed any more tears. I want to say, I love the barrier islands, whether it's Siesta Key, Gasparilla Island, all those. But you know what? Those were never supposed to be built on. It's hard to get worked up about a hurricane that's in Hurricane Alley occurring in hurricane season, which has gone on forever. And before I get too much further into this, all of the horrible hurricanes for which there was not quite enough information to make it part of a current statistic that occurred prior to 1935, oh my goodness. Those weren't the good old days. There weren't the measurement tools. But this was the thing. So I decided, okay, 600, let's say there are 600 that end up dead from Helene. That's bad. There's 408 in this tornado, this hurricane in 1935 in Florida. So you say, well, this one's worse. No, you can't really say that, because what I then did was some extrapolation. I'm a nerd. Listen to this. In 1935, the population of Florida was 1,607,000, rounded. Don't have the current population for two weeks ago, but going into 2024, Florida passed the 23 million mark in population. So what would be the number of people proportionately given the exponential growth in population in Florida that would have to die to be as bad as the hurricane in 1935 that killed 408? Here's the number. I mean, you can do it. Divide 23 million by 1,607,000 and then multiply times 408. The number? 5,839 would have had to have died in these hurricanes in the last couple weeks to be proportionately as bad as the hurricane in 1935. And they're talking about the $1 billion worth of damage. Well, guess what? How was Florida developed 89 years ago? If they only had 1.6 million in the whole state, guess what? They didn't have many businesses. There weren't any sports stadiums. There weren't all these gazillion houses and mobile homes. crammed into these Kramarama neighborhoods and everybody crowding to next near the coast. And why? So that they can be close to the next hurricane. You see, the 408 died when people did not build on the barrier islands. They knew that was dangerous. That was not where you would go to try to survive. They were inland, growing citrus and other things. This isn't even close. So to say that this is a feature of climate change and global warming, I'm going to tell you right now, garbage. And the statistics prove it out. Absolutely prove it. So adios, weeping weatherman. And Joe Biden is out there the other day. He's practically bawling because this is, oh, the climate change is horrible, and Donald Trump, and he doesn't believe in climate change, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, my goodness sakes. It is just pathetic. But because people are cramming into Florida, building close to the building on the barrier islands, the Keys, gazillions of mobile homes, which are just tin can coffins in a hurricane or a tornado, which they've had a lot of. People are just asking for it. They're asking for it. I mean, okay, I got to move on here. But the point of this is I predicted 4 years ago that the next executive orders that would be cataclysmic would not be the hurricanes. It would be the climate change allegations of that would be necessary with faulty stats to invoke executive orders that will be various lockdowns of what you can and can't do. Can't drive more than 25 miles a day unless you take public transport. Who knows what the heck some whore from hell like Kamala Harris would come up with. After all, she's too stupid to think of things on her own. She'll have to take orders from the climate alarmists, the elitists. And of course, now, as we talked about last week, those Muslims that are going to be side by side in the White House making policy, as promised by Tampon Tim. Okay. So that's going to happen. That was predicted 4 years ago. We are getting close as everybody's crying about this, saying we got to do something. I understand the damage is bad, but much of the damage is actually avoidable. Next thing, as we get shut down increasingly from censorship, the next coming attraction, which is here, is the shutting down specifically of Christian voice, not just conservative voice, but Christian voice. And I point to the issue with Decision Magazine, which was launched by Billy Graham originally, and the fact that they came out and did a voter guide. Now, when I was preaching and practicing law in California, we had a guy out there by the name of Lou Sheldon. Lou Sheldon started the Traditional Values Coalition, and he had a voter guide, which was immensely helpful, particularly for the down-ballot races, where you get down to the judges, of which I should have known some, but I really didn't. Didn't pay much attention to it. I needed help and guidance, which the Traditional Values Coalition provided. And all they would do is line up the positions. This judge, this candidate, this Senate candidate, state assembly candidate, this is what they believe regarding queer sex, homosexual marriage, abortion, blah, 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 blah. And here's what the other person, the Republican, thinks, invariably. Because you could. They were a 501c3 organization, but you could do that for a while anyway then, because what you were doing is you weren't validating a candidate. You were just stating your organization's positions on social issues of which the organization has a vested interest as part of this country. Well, Decision Magazine did that, and they just stated out the positions of the two candidates. And now they're getting sued viciously by the Freedom From Religion Foundation because the contest there was portrayed as a fight between socialism and freedom. And it is. And they could state the values that that Christians believe, and these are the values of the two different candidates. But no, they're now asking that The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is being sued to revoke its tax-exempt status over illegal campaign intervention. Well, the only thing that the Johnson Amendment ever prohibited was campaigning on behalf of candidates. But what they're saying is, well, one of these candidates is Trump, and Trump is on the side of all the freedom issues, and Harris is on the side of all the socialists. But they never come out to say, vote for Trump or don't vote for Harris. They just say, here are the positions. And they call telling the truth an illegal campaign intervention. This is only going to get worse. And we already got there in California with Gavin Newsom's recent legislation about outlawing deep fake political ads. I don't know if we'll get to that today. Maybe it's not worth getting to. But Franklin Graham comes out and in this thing, but this Freedom From Religion Foundation claims that Graham denigrates the Democratic Party's platform. Huh. I'm denigrating the Democrats by saying they support queer marriage. Denigrating the Democrats by saying they support gender mutilation. Denigrating the Democrats by saying they support the execution of innocent children in the womb right up to the point of birth. Gee, I thought that's called the truth. So, and Graham says, progressives, the liberal thought and activism has so contaminated the mainstream of America, life and culture that once unthinkable abominations such as same-sex marriage, abortion on demand, and transgender advocacy have become dogma in one major party's platform. Well, it has. So, but they should be able to say this. This relates to the core values of one's faith and for one's organization. So what they are arguing against, the Democrats are arguing against the exercise of the First Amendment. The First Amendment rights shouldn't be able to do that. I mean, they say, well, you're encouraging people, the readers, to vote for Donald Trump. Well, this is interesting. All the magazine does is show up and state, without naming Trump's name, Trump's moral superiority over Harris. And in fact, the fact that they have to sue to try to stop the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association from stating biblical values, actually it is an admission that Trump is morally superior. He's not perfect, far from it, but he is morally superior. So the publication focuses on moral and faith issues, which religious organizations they're allowed to do. They're actually should be expected to comment, but this is what's happening. This is what we have predicted is going to be happening because the Bible teaches that governments are ordained by God to restrain evil and enable righteousness. Quoting here from WorldNet Daily, Romans 13:3-4. Christians should be engaged. 2 Thessalonians 3:2 tells us we should be praying and advocating for the removal of those who are wicked. Gosh. Paul tells the Ephesians in 6:13 to stand, having done all to stand. So is this country going to turn around? Well, we pray that it would. But I want to close out this piece with something that John Quincy Adams. I think it was his son, because he was president, two presidents down. He said, Graham says, we hope this country can turn around. We pray and work hard toward that end. But he went on to quote John Quincy Adams, who asked a rather cynical question, he said, about the failure to end slavery after decades of trying. So we haven't done it. We've been working and working trying to eliminate slavery. It was a flaw from the founding, but the founding was necessary by whatever means to be able to take a stand against the British. I get it. I get it. You may compromise on some things because at least, let's use the word, there's an existential need to come together. It's sort of like Lila Rose. I like her. She's a great champion for pro-life, but when she stands up and says she can't vote for Trump because he's not flawless on the abortion, what do you want? Cammy, kill him in the womb, Harris? You make him, we scrape him, no fetus will beat us, Harris? Is that what you want, Lila? Foolish. Foolish beyond description. You accept some flaws if the need currently is such that it is absolutely critical to staving off something far, far worse. So, what did John Quincy Adams say? He said, to work towards the abolition of slavery, even though we have failed so far, to continue to work because, quote, the duty is ours, the results are God's. Let us do our duty. I love that. John Quincy Adams was much more Christian in his approach to politics than John Adams. But you know this statement, duty, the duty is ours, the results are God's, let us do our duty. I had read this a long time ago, but when I read it the other day, I had to kind of laugh because something has happened in between those two times, the original reading decades ago and now, and that was a statement by Vladimir Putin. And how much it resonated with me when I read Putin's statement and again reading Adam's statement. Because Putin said, it's up to God to judge the terrorists, but it's up to me to send them to him. So he said, it's his job to kill them, it's up to God to judge them. It's sort of a variation on this thing, but that's what crossed my mind. All right, we're going to move on to now. The next prediction is, and I'm not alone in this, everybody's been making this prediction, that we are moving to this point where the whole of government, every branch, every agency, every department, every division is committed to staying in power and rooting out anyone that would reduce the size of power, attempt to take control from them so that they can march on their way to a global elite type of government situation, all run by left-wing elitists. And of course, religion is gone. There's no protection in the womb. I mean, the two most dangerous places for a child these days is clear, in the womb and in a government school. But they want to eliminate Christian schooling. They want to force feed all the diabolical crap from hell that the left brazenly and proudly boasts as being its defining characteristic. The whole of government, every department is going into it. That's why I bring up this next story regarding Janet Yellen. Because what is she? Okay, Secretary of the Treasury, right? So what's she got to do with climate change? Nothing, Janet. She says, we're veering off course. Basically saying, if we don't elect Harris, this country could veer off course and the economic trajectory is not good. Wow. Why? Because we might have more climate change deniers in government? Because Ramaswamy is a Secretary of the Treasury will advocate, because Trump is going to appoint him to that position at the very least, that we slash the DOJ budget in half, we cut FEMA's budget in half, we gut the Infrastructure Act. Well, gosh, this is Janet Yellen, who can't stay in her lane because she's part of this whole of government. This is part of Barack Hussein Obama's fundamental transformation of America. Everybody is for the left at the government level. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Crossing the highway late last night, he should have looked left and he should have looked right. He didn't see the station wagon car. The skunk got squashed and there you are. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road.
Yeah, dead skunk. That's where the left wants us. They want to just run over us and leave us for the vultures. Speaking of Janet Yellen here, I got to finish this thing because this woman is bonkers. She's just one more. She's kind of past her prime, but she's still out there prostituting now for the left. She said we can't veer off course. The significant change in current economic policies could damage the American economy. Tell me, Janet, baby, what has been so great about the last 4 years that we need to continue our economic policies? $36 trillion in debt, you old bag? Are you serious? Every single person in this country owes now north of $100,000 to pay off the debt. Is that what you want? No, she wants total control of the monetary system. Get out of here, you old bag. I can hardly wait for her to get fired. Oh, we don't want to veer off course. We don't want to veer off course on our way to socialism. All these tax cuts, she said, it will explode the federal deficit. No, Janet, baby, it won't. What explodes the federal deficit is your unrestrained spending and printing. That, baby, is what does it. She said, we've got all these investments in green energy and they're cutting edge. No, Janet, they were a ridiculous, stinking waste of time. How many billions have we spent on the cutting edge green? How are those EVs working out for you, Janet, baby? How are all these electric car mandates and we can't get the materials? The materials cost more in carbon footprint than gasoline does to produce. Stay in your lane, baby. So, as an example, California loves to be the cutting edge, and they are. They just can't wait to see themselves bleed more, and then spread the blood to the rest of the country. So he has this ban on parody, which drew the lawsuit, where he's getting ridiculously mocked. Why is this a coming attraction that's already here? Because this is censorship on steroids, which many of us have been predicting, and it is happening now. He got sued, and I think the suit has got to win. It's such a clear violation of the First Amendment. But Christopher Coles is charging Newsom with violations of the First Amendment and 14th Amendment with Newsom's anti-deep fake measure. So what he's saying is, no, you can't use AI to create images that aren't real, of course, and then use them in a political campaign. That's the essence of it. And so this would eliminate parody because he hates the Babylon Bee. He hates those guys because they just stick it to him with humor. He can't stand it. So what ticked him off that caused him to want to pass this bill? And he got it passed because you got a bunch of Democrats, left-wing lackeys. It's a one-party state. He was offended by a parody released by a Mr. Reagan. It was a Kamala Harris campaign ad parody. And in it, Harris confirms she's a Democrat candidate for president because Joe Biden exposed his senility at the debate. So they have her saying this. in this parody. She confesses she's the ultimate diversity hire as a woman and a person of color. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both sexist and racist. Well, it goes on and on. And it's funny. It's obviously a parody. It just ticked off Newsom to no end. And so he got this bill saying that's now a criminal offense. I don't know. I mean, it's got to be a violation of the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment. So he said, I've just signed a bill. Well, wait, I got to back up here. The video, which was AI-generated audio clips, it was shared by Elon Musk, who Newsom hates because Elon moved the heck out of California and took his billions with him to Texas, and California is losing all of Elon's state tax payments. Elon is helping build the budget deficit in California. But Elon's video, showing of this video, had 100 million views, including Gavin Greaseball Gruesome, who hated it, and he said, quote, I just signed a bill to make this illegal in the state of California. You can no longer knowingly distribute an ad or other election communication that contains materially deceptive content, including deepfakes. Deceptive? Well, gosh, who are the deceivers? The Democrats. They're the ones that are involved in misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. They're involved in the censorship. And they're, you see, Newsom cannot handle parody. He cannot handle satire. So, you know what this is like? I mean, let's say, and I think maybe, I don't know if Babylon Bee did this or not, but someone asked Netanyahu if Israel is behind this exploding pagers. And they do this AI-generated Netanyahu thing where he answered, he said, his answer was, I was raised in a middle-class family. That's his answer. Obviously, it's a slam on Harris because she's got no brains. Netanyahu's got all of them. Harris has none of them. And it is a devastating satirical parody on Harris because she's dumb as a fence post. She is tree trunk stump dumb. But it's obvious. It's obvious it's a parody. But because it hits home, Newsom couldn't handle it. So, comment by Musk. You're not going to believe this, but Gavin Newsom just announced that he signed a law to make parody illegal based on this video. Gavin Newsom signed the bill making memes and parody illegal in the state because of the video. He will be very mad if this video went viral again. So then, of course, Musk just releases it again. And so Newsom is really taking on the Babylon Bee directly. You've heard me quote these guys. They are so stinking good. They are so stinking bright and funny. They're out of San Diego. I have supported these guys and encouraged people to subscribe to them now multiple years, long before they got popular. And, I mean, I will just tell you, they're still putting it out. This is today's headlines, satire. One, a picture of DeSantis and Kamala No Brains Harris. The caption is, what a jerk. Kamala wants to help with hurricane relief, but DeSantis refuses to tell her where Florida is. I think that's hilarious. It's obviously parody, but it's so close to the truth, if it isn't the truth, but it's still a parody the way it's done. This is what Newsom wants made illegal. Another one. Experts say Kamala can still win if she doesn't appear in public again between now and Election Day. Oh, boy. I mean, I could go on and on, but you get the point. So that they are after, this law is after a bunch of brilliant, knowledgeable, gutsy, funny Christian guys in San Diego called the Babylon Bee. And so what did they do? They came out and then they did an AI about with Newsom. I got to read it to you. These guys are just shoving it back in that jackass's face because he is. And here's the alleged Newsom. This is a message for the people of America given in my authentically recorded non-AI voice. Thanks to my leadership over the last several years, California has become a world leader in extremist left-wing governance. My policies were so effective that almost 1 million people are now fleeing the state every year. We have even run out of U-Hauls. During the COVID pandemic, I locked everyone in their homes and shut down businesses for months. Well, not the French Laundry, though. That's my favorite restaurant. Last year, I cleaned up the damn dangerous, messy streets of San Francisco. You know, because Chinese Communist President Xi was coming, and I really wanted to impress him. After all, he's my boss. This year, I signed legislation that allows me to take custody of your kid if you refuse to give him artificial hormones and chop off his genitals. Because if you don't do that, you're a bigot. And bigots shouldn't be allowed to have kids. I've also led the way in green energy by banning all cars that don't run on electricity. Then I banned almost all the electricity. This is smart leadership. On my watch, the cost of living and homelessness have skyrocketed. Schools are failing. Drug dealers and human traffickers are pouring across the border. And poop has covered the sidewalks of San Francisco. This is that positive, joyful vision we offer as Democrats. That's why I enthusiastically am endorsing Kamala Harris for president in 2024. She'll do to the country everything I've done in California. Anyway, I'm California Governor Gavin Newsom, and I approve this 100% real message, which is a recording of my voice without the assistance of AI whatsoever. This isn't a deep fake, and you can rest assured that it isn't, because I just signed an unconstitutional law outlawing deep fakes. No one would dare violate it. Thank you, and science bless America. These guys, you see, the satire is a slayer. It's slaying satire. It's a rhetorical slit to the throat. And the left cannot handle truth for three reasons. One, they lose control of people. Number two, it's obvious, like Newsom, they lose control of their mind. And number three, it indicts them of their sin. Oh, boy. You know, I have something else here I want to get to, but I don't know. I'm going to have to put it aside about why churches need to consider abandoning their 501c3 status. Yeah, so they can talk. I abandoned it. I served as an interim pastor in California for 14 years, or 13 and a half, something like that. I never considered or let the 501c3 status interfere with the truth. I never let it interfere with what needed to be said. And in fact, I told the congregation, here's why you should not vote for Barack Obama. And I gave them all the reasons, but I preached it out of 1 Samuel chapter 8. No. Hey, you ought to do that. Well, the statute of limitations is run because that was back in, 2008? Yeah, 2008. So I'm okay. The church is okay. Too bad. So sad. But the IRS needs to just, they can try to get on their high horse. But the pastors, any pastor who does not get up and talk about why one candidate and let the congregation pick the candidate. One candidate believes this. The other candidate believes that. You pick and choose. If they think that that's an endorsement of Donald Trump, subtly it is. But if the pastor doesn't have the guts to do that, then get the heck out of that church. Because that pastor's not showing people the way. That pastor's in the way. Which leads to this next story. The millions of Christians who are not planning to vote about makes me hurl. It could shape the presidential race, no question about it. This coming from, this came from WorldNet Daily. I'm just going to quote this briefly. It says, millions of Christians in the United States have indicated in a study released that they are not likely to vote in the upcoming re-election this November, which is obviously a problem for Republicans. The study found that approximately 104 million people under the heading of People of Faith umbrella are not expected to vote in this election. Now, this 104 million, to be fair, includes Jews, Christians, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Mormonism, and Islam. So that's a big group, but there's 104 million of them. How would most Mormons vote? Well, for Trump, I would think. Jews, well, they're the surprise. I don't understand how they could be so smart, wise, and wealthy, but frankly, sometimes so absolutely blind when it comes to cultural and moral issues. But Islam, well, there are actually more and more Muslims that have said they're going to vote for Trump because Joey Baby hasn't done enough to rein in Israel, even though the biggest supporter of Israel is Donald Trump. Go figure. I don't understand that. So there's that 104, but now we drill down to the deep facts. The People of Faith umbrella, they're not expected to vote in this election. But of that 104 million, how many of the 104 million that are not planning to vote are Christians? 41 million. How many of those that are not planning to vote are ones who regularly, let's move past the I claim to be a born-again Christian, let's move that. How many of those born-again Christians that regularly go to church, so now we're getting closer to the real born-again crowd, right? Don't plan to vote. 32 million. Do you realize that conservatives, if Christians voted in each election and voted right, we win all the time? You know, Donald Trump said, look, we're going to win. You're going to get so, you vote me in, we're going to win. We're going to win so many times, you're going to get sick of winning. I think Trump ignorantly assumed that all Christians would vote for him and that all Christians would, in fact, vote when he made that statement. But he's ignorant in that sense. And I will say this. If Harris wins and I hear a complaint, I don't care who it is, from close friends, distant people, relatives, I'll ask them, who did you vote for? And if they're complaining about what Harris is doing and they tell me they didn't vote, I'm going to tell them to shut up. You lost your right to complain when you didn't vote for Trump, which simply facilitated the election of that old bag. Boy. Well, coming attractions, what else? The loss of the Electoral College, I predicted this. It's coming. It's not here yet. Walz says he wants to eliminate the Electoral College. Why? Because he wants to have just a general election, a popular election, and whoever gets the most votes wins. Well, California just passed a legislation that does not any longer require ID to vote. So let's just have 12, 15 million illegals vote in California, and they get them to all vote for some left-wing maniac. I'm sorry for the redundancy. That's why they want a popular vote, because they can stack and smack the voting with illegals who can't be questioned. They never lose another election. You see, the left wants the big blue states to trample the crap out of the little red states, any one of which, if it seceded, I would move to, and I'd move the assets to those states that secede, if that's where this goes. So the no voter ID is just simply so millions of illegals can be permanently installed from a voter standpoint. And why are they doing this? To preserve democracy. Isn't that just sweet? Let's just urinate on the Constitution in the interest of preserving democracy. Let's just have a whole bunch of illegals who have no right to vote help us preserve democracy. These people are sick. They're from the pit of hell. And, boy, this program's going to be different if she wins, because it's no longer going to be about This has been a watchman on the wall program. We see the enemy coming. We see him coming. I give warning after warning after warning for all these years. Been on the air for 18, 19 years. Just simply becomes more intense. Because they're headed. They're headed for our walled city. But if she's elected, they're not coming anymore. They're here. They're inside the gate. Whole different animal. You're going to be hearing some different programs. So, can Trump win? Yes, he can. It absolutely would have to be an act of God. If you consider all the election machinations by the left, all the deceit, all the cover-up, all the censorship, all the lies by all of the alphabet networks who are just a bunch of pimps and prostitutes for the left. But could he? Gosh, the guy has survived two assassination attempts. Of all things, amazingly, the wealthiest man in the world has become a supporter, Elon Musk. He's pulled in RFK Jr., not many votes, but every vote helps. Tulsi Gabbard, a former Democrat gone independent who now is supporting Trump. Trump has some Muslims, the shock of shocks, considering his affinity for Israel, that have said that they're going to vote for him. You've got the greatest amount of Hispanic support for a Republican in modern times. You have the growing support among blacks. But if he wins, it's going to take some, I think it's going to take some further surprises. I don't know what it takes to win, but he's doing all he can. This man is giving his life and his sacred honor and his fortune to do so. Far more than what Harris is doing, with the chump change she has, then she just gleans billions from left-wing donors and then considers it support. Well, they're just liberal global elitists. But it's going to take something else. You know, I heard something by, I think it was James Carville. Axelrod, whatever his first, I think it's David. He said, you know, he's saying with a smirk on his face, that these hurricanes are hitting red territory and it's going to hurt red support. But up in the western portion of Carolina, you do have some wealthy people who are leftist, who are liberals. No, they're leftists. And they will find a way to vote where the red state poor people will not find a way to vote. And hooray, this is going to help us take North Carolina and maybe Georgia and who knows, maybe Florida. Well, here's my prayer. My prayer is this, that what the enemy intends for evil, God will use for good. That when the people of North Carolina and Georgia and Florida and where else see how much FEMA sucks, and they do, how much the federal government sucks, how much the federal government hates people in red states and is delaying the help, could it possibly be, that it will actually cause some people to register to vote that weren't planning on it so they can vote for Donald Trump? Well, could it possibly be that this will cause those who have been sitting on the fence to hop off the fence to the right side? Could it possibly be that the independents that exist are no longer really, truly independent? And that maybe it is the poor and the less enfranchised historically, that somehow rise up and say, doggone it, you know what? If it's the last thing I do in this life, I got to get out and vote. Could it be that the words of Scripture in Genesis, that what the enemy has intended for evil, God will use for good? I hope so. I hope so. It is my prayer. And yet I have to be also mindful of the fact that everything could go right, like in the reign of Josiah, a very righteous king. Righteousness was starting to rule from a king who had everything right. Said it was a better king than King David. There was no king like him before or after Josiah. And yet, notwithstanding that, because of the sins of his grandfather Manasseh and those who ruled before, all the innocent blood that was shed and the idolatry and the whoredoms that were occurring in Israel, God still had to move forward and judge them. That could be our result. In other words, it could simply be that Cami is nothing more than judgment against a country that has slept too long, pastors who have no cojones, pastors who haven't. In fact, I'm going to read on Sunday morning with Robin Walter some passages dealing with woe with the pastors, from which the cause of the seed of the decline starts, leading to the ultimate judgment for a nation that should never have had to be judged if the pastors did what they were supposed to do. God bless you, pastors, who are doing what you are supposed to do. I'd love to name you. I won't, but you know who I'm talking about. God bless you. We will see you next week. Remember, sit tall in the saddle and ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.